together, we'll sing hymn number 485. 485. We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah. Hymn number 118. 118.
Mine, that were a presence for We turn to Joel chapter 2. Joel, it's after Daniel and then Hosea. This talks about the day of the Lord. Joel chapter 2. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people and a strong, there hath none been ever like the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march every one on his ways. And they shall not break their ranks, neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. Thou shalt run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark. The stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. For his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent, and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priest, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make you a reproach unto the heathen, but I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part toward the utmost sea. And his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain the former rain and the latter rain in the first month, and the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. I will restore you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you, and ye shall eat in plenty, and shall be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God. He hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed, and ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Almighty God, we come call upon you this afternoon, Lord, and we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word, Lord, and we do wait on your day. We know it comes, and it does come quickly, Lord. We ask that you'd be merciful to those that don't know you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. Lord, you're so merciful to us. Lord, be with your people of this congregation that are sick and afflicted, Lord. Be merciful to them. Lord, we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Hymn number 110. 110.
Leviticus chapter 4. Leviticus chapter 4. If you remember, There's five offerings. We've dealt with two, the burnt offering and the meat offering. Tonight we're going to deal with the sin offering, later the peace offering and the trespass offering. Tonight we want to deal with the sin offering, and it's Christ our substitute in Leviticus chapter 4. Let's read the first 12 verses together and we'll go back and look at them. The Lord spake unto Moses. Now you notice that who's talking? God's speaking to Moses. It's not Moses talking, it's God speaking to Moses. And speak unto the children of Israel. God said, he always has a mediator between himself and men. And Moses was the mediator between God and men at this particular time as a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. You speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them, if the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin which he hath sinned a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. And he shall bring the bullock unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, and shall lay his hand upon the bullock's head, and shall kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priest that is anointed shall take of the bullock's blood and bring it into the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle of the blood seven times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary. And the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of the sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour out all the blood of the bullock of the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall take off from it all the fat of the bullock for a sin offering, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks and the caul above the liver, with the kidneys shall he take away. And it was taken from off the bullock of the sacrifice of peace offerings, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar of the burnt offering. And the skin of the bullock and all his flesh, with his head and with his legs and with his inwards and his dung, even the whole bullock shall he carry forth without the camp unto a clean place where the ashes are poured out, and burn him on the wood with fire, where the ashes are poured out, shall he be. Did you notice how many times it said before the Lord? Before the Lord. That's what's so important, that we realize that what's done, done before the Lord. And this is the third offering, and I hope that hopefully and prayerfully, by the Holy Spirit, we shall behold the Lord Jesus Christ. We have, in what I've read this evening, we have the sin, we have the sinner, and we have the sin offering. And all of us are before us, before this chapter. It says in verse 3 here, if the priest that is anointed sin according to the sin of the people. Oh my. If a priest, that's what we're talking about, if a priest that is anointed do sin. Even anointed ones sin. And we're anointed. God set us apart by the Spirit of God. But God provides a remedy even for his anointed one. John said, little children, I write unto you that you sin not. But if any man do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. But let's look at the sin offering. The first thing we want to see about this sin offering, that's what we're talking about. First thing about it, it has to be blameless, has to be without blemish. Look in verse 3. If the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin, which he has sinned, a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for sin. Without blemish. That word without blemish means to be without blame, to be blameless, to be without fault, to be without anything wrong with it whatsoever. And Leviticus 22:21 says, it shall be perfect. It shall be perfect to be accepted. And I tell you, it has to be without blame, has to be without blemish before the Lord, for the all-seeing eye of God Almighty. Turn to Deuteronomy 17 and verse 1. Look what it says over here. You know, and when it got to be blameless, without blame, without fault, without blemish, and it has to be before the all-seeing eye of God Almighty, before the Lord. And look what he said here in verse 17, Deuteronomy 17:1. Thou shalt not sacrifice unto the Lord thy God any bullock or sheep wherein is blemish or any evil favoredness, for that is an abomination unto the Lord thy God. That means if you bring any sacrifice to the Lord, if it ain't perfect, if it ain't blameless, if it's not without fault, then it won't be accepted. And I'll tell you what, oh, how perfect, how blameless, how without fault, how precious was our Lord Jesus Christ before God Almighty. Said he even offered himself without blemish to God. And even though our Lord Jesus Christ was in this world and with contact with this world never ever come in contact with him. Even though he was contact with sinners in this world, the sinners never made him to be contaminated in any way. He was untainted by the world and its corruption. He would touch a leper and he wouldn't become unclean. He could touch sinners and not become a sinner. And that's the blessed thing about it. Oh, the world and all its corruption never, ever touched our Lord Jesus Christ. He touched unclean people, yet he was untouched with uncleanness. No wonder the Hebrew writer said he is holy, harmless, without blame, holy, harmless, and without sin, without God, and without before the world, with blameless, with before the world, without sin, without he's blameless, perfect. And I tell you what, and he said he's going to present us faultless one of these days. We're faultless now. But look what it says in verse 4. Now he had to be with blameless, had to be without fault. There's only one person that could possibly be offered before the Lord without a spot, without a blemish, without fault. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ, holy, harmless, separate from sinners, undefiled. But there had to be an imputation, there had to be an identification. And it says in verse 4, and he shall bring the bullock under the door of the congregation of the Lord, before the Lord. I love it always says before the Lord. And listen to what it says here. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the bullock and then kill the bullock. Oh, there had to be an identification. There had to be an imputation. He shall lay his hand upon the head of that bull. Shall lay his hand upon that offer. And that means that he's identifying with that lamb. He's identifying with that bullock. He's transferring his sins to the head of that bullock. He's identifying with the death and the rightful death of this bullock right here. And oh my, he's identifying himself with him. Sins are imputed to him. And also with the sacrifice itself. And I tell you, we did not impute or lay our sins upon Christ. You know who did? God did. God's the first cause of the death of Christ, just like he's the first cause of this lamb, this bullock being here. You know, God, it says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The Lord laid on him. God did it, laid on him. Just like we laid our hands upon that bullock, God himself put on Christ the iniquity of us all, charged them with us. And he made his soul an offering for sin. God did that. God did that. And oh, I want you to look with me. You know, we become sinners by identification with Adam. We became imperfect and sinless because of our inability to keep the law. The law condemns us. Our identity with Adam condemns us and finds us guilty. And we are identified with Adam. And if we're identified with Adam and we didn't do nothing to become a sinner, then we can't do anything to become righteous. God has to do that for us. And we have to identify with the one that's dying. And God's the only one that identified with Christ. Look, I want you to look with me. You keep Leviticus and look in Romans chapter 15. Or excuse me, chapter 5. You know, I hope I can make this understandable. I really do. Sometimes I feel like I darken counsel with words. But look what it says here. You know, God laid our sins upon Christ. We didn't have anything to do with Christ being put in our stead. We didn't have anything to do with that. God did that. And sin is wages received. Grace is a gift. Now look what it says here in Romans 5:15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Now the offense, we're receiving wages for that. The sin, the offense of Satan, of Adam, we receive wages for our sin. But not like the offense, is the free grace. For if through the offense of one or the sin of one man, many be dead through that one sin, much more, listen to this, the grace of God and the gift by grace by one man. By one man came sin, but listen here, grace much more did come. And it was a gift. We receive sin's wages, but everything we get from God is grace, and it's a gift. Now watch this now. And it came by one man, Jesus Christ. And listen to this. That one sin condemned us, but this, listen to what he said, hath this grace of Christ given unto us abounds to many. Many. Not just, and look what he goes on. And not as it was by the one that sinned, that one man that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment, God sent judgment, which was death, was by one man unto condemnation. But the free gift, we fell by one man's sin, by one man sinning. But the free gift is of many, many sins unto justification. We lost by one man, one sin. But oh, the abundance of grace, and grace is a gift. And as one, we sin by one man, but when the grace comes, it abounds. It abounds unto all kinds of sins unto justification. And look what he said in verse 17. For if by one man's offense, by that one man's sin, death reigned by that one sin, by that one man. Now listen to this, and he always says this, much more. They which receive abundance of grace, and of the gift of righteousness, that grace and righteousness reigns in life, not by death, but rotten life by one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see what happened there. We are identified with Adam, but Christ turns around and says, what you lost in Adam, I'm going to give you so much more through what I've done. You're going to get righteousness, you're going to get grace, and it's going to be a free gift. There's lots of offenses. You know, you sinned in Adam, but you got all your own sins. He said, I'm going to take care of all those sins, and it's going to abound in grace. It's going to abound over all your offenses. Oh, my. Grace is a gift. And I tell you, imputation is one of the cardinal doctrines. And all listen, and how in the world can you explain universal salvation, universal sin, and yet not universal salvation if it wasn't for the grace of Christ? Everybody's sinned. There's not a soul on the earth that hasn't sinned. But grace wasn't given to everybody. Huh? Oh, my. Oh, listen, identify yourself with him. Identify yourself with him. Oh, I want to be identified with him, don't you? Oh, by faith lay your hands upon him. Oh, listen, he said he gave him, loved us, and gave himself for us. Oh, my. And then not only must it be imputation and identification, but listen, whenever there's sin charged and there's an offering, there has to be a death in that offering. Look back over here in Leviticus 4 with me again. And again in verse 4. In the last part of the verse, and it says, and shall lay his hands upon the bullock's head. And the last part said, and kill the bullock. And I love this again, before the Lord. Before the Lord. You know, wherever sin is, and wherever man sinned, death got to follow. Death got to follow. But the death of the offering has to do with the Lord, before the Lord, before Jehovah. And the death of our Lord Jesus Christ was no accident. It wasn't a mishap. It wasn't a martyr's death. It wasn't a misstep by man. It wasn't just an example of us patience and suffering. It was a death that God Himself demanded that had to be offered in order for us to be able to come before the Lord. There has to be a sin offering for us to come before the Lord. There's no way in the world apart from it. It was death. God Himself demanded it. And our Lord Jesus Christ, God demanded that if there's going to be a salvation, wherever sin is found, death's got to follow it. And this is one of the great mysteries. God made him to be sin. Now, listen, he said he knew no sin. Christ never became a sinner. No way he became a sinner. But God made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we, and oh, here's the thing about that, we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Explain that. That was before the Lord. That's the only way in the world God could have anything to do with us, is that Christ, God made Christ to be our sin offering. And we had to have a sin offering. What sin offering could we bring? What offering could we bring to God? But God said, listen, death is your due. But he said, I'll tell you what I'll do, since this death has to be before the Lord, and you have to identify with it. He said, what I'll do is my son will come and take your place. And I'll tell you, when he read it tonight, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I'll tell you, when God found sin on his blessed son, what happened to him? He died. He died. He died. His life was offered unto God Almighty as a substitute for his people. And the scriptures tells us he died before the Lord. He offered himself without spot to God. He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Oh my. And then look what happens here down in verse 8. Talking about our sin offering. And he shall take off from all the fat of the bullock for the sin offering. The fat that covers the inwards, everything on the inside of it. And all the fat that's upon the inwards. And the two kidneys and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks. And the caul above the liver and the kidneys shall he take away. Take out the fat. Take away the kidneys. Take up the caul. Take out the liver. Take it all away. And it was taken off from the bullock of the sacrifice of the peace offerings, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar. And oh, what does this fat mean? Fat that was burned upon the altar. Well, down in verse 31, look what it says here in Leviticus 4. And he shall take away all the fat thereof, as the fat is taken away from all the sacrifice of peace offerings, and the priest shall burn it upon the altar for a sweet savor unto the Lord. And the priest shall make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. Oh my, sweet smell and savor. This is a sweet savor unto the Lord. And when you see where the fat is mentioned, it's given a prominent place in the sin offering and also in the peace offering. And what that represents is the riches, the fullness, the preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ as God sees his offering. Oh my, him upon that cross was a sweet smelling savor. Let me show you that in 2 Corinthians 2. He's a sweet smelling savor. Oh, sweet smelling savor. You know, Shirley buys me stuff to make me smell good all the time. And women, you know, they have this stuff that makes them smell good. And they say, boy, don't that smell good? Well, I tell you what, God smells one person. There's only one thing that's sweet to God. Only one thing got a sweet, sweet smell that rises up to God Almighty. And that's his blessed Son. Look what he says now in verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest, makes us to see the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For unto God, a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and even in them that perish, because it's God that Christ smells. To the one were the savor of death unto death, to the other the savor of life unto life. Who's sufficient for these things? Oh, he's a sweet smelling savor. Sweet smelling savor. And then the body, I want you to see this back over here in verse 12. Leviticus 4:12. The body was carried outside the camp. In verse 12. Even the whole bullock shall he carry forth without the camp unto a clean place where the ashes are poured out, and burn him on the wood with fire. Where the ashes are poured out shall he be burnt. Oh my. Why should the offering be burned without the camp and not on the altar as the other parts of the body was? Because it was typical of him who was made a curse for us, and he suffered without the gate. You know, Hebrews, I know you've seen this, but look in Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. This is what happened to our Lord Jesus Christ. This is why they carried it without the camp. Because our Lord was carried without the camp. Look in verse 11. They said, carry it without the camp. For the bodies of those beasts, like that bullock, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary, and we'll see how the blood is brought in here in a moment, by the high priest for sin, they take the body, take it outside the camp, and burn it. Now listen to this. He done that because of Christ. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people, with his own blood, not the blood of that sanctuary, with his own blood, suffer without the gate. God, he went out, they took him outside Jerusalem. They took him outside the gate. They took him outside the city. They took him way out on the top of a hill. And they called that hill Golgotha, called it Calvary, the place of the skull. And he took him outside the camp. And I tell you, you know what burned him? The fierceness of God's wrath burned our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the fierceness of God's wrath, just like that fire burned on that thing. And when he said, let's go forth without the camp, that means let's get out of religion. Leave religion behind. Leave all hope behind. Go outside the camp. Go out where Christ died. Go to where Christ suffered. Go to him who suffered. Go to him who died. Go to him that took outside the camp. Go to him. Don't go to just church. Go to Christ. That's what he's talking about. Oh my. And then look what he says here. Oh, he's took without the gate. And God himself turned his face away from him for a moment. Taken outside Jerusalem, burned with the fierceness of God's wrath. Now look in verse 6 and 7 here of Leviticus 4. And well, the body was carried without the camp. And look what happens here in verse 6. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle of the blood 7 times before the Lord. There we are again before the Lord. Before the veil of the sanctuary. And the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of the sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour all the blood of the bullock at the bottom of the altar, which is at the door. Now I want you to see the order of this here. First thing, he takes the blood. Now he's not behind the veil. He's out in the tabernacle of congregation. He takes that blood and he sprinkles it 7 times before the Lord. Dips his finger in there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Every time he dips it in there, he throws it. 7 drops he puts before the Lord. And then look what else it happens. Then he sprinkled it before the veil. Now, he was outside the veil, so he's outside that veil, and he sprinkles blood outside the veil. You can't go behind the veil without blood. And oh my, that veil was what veiled from the holiest of holies. And then look what it says, and he put blood upon the horns of the altar of sweet incense. That altar of incense set right before that veil. And that's where they put in every morning, they put in fresh incense on there and oil on there. And that was called the intercession of our Lord Jesus Christ. That went up as a sweet fragrance all the time. And also our Lord, here he is talking about sprinkling the blood. And every bit of it that was left, all the blood that was left after the sprinkling, all the blood that was spread after it was put before the veil, all the blood that was put before on the horns of the altar, the rest of it, they took it and just poured it out before the altar, at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering. And you know, this is what I love about it. The priest sprinkled the blood on the way out. Oh, not as he was going in. And it teaches us this. The way has been made from God out to sinful man. Come out, and he starts sprinkling blood. That shows us that he's coming out from the presence of the Lord, before the Lord, and he starts sprinkling that blood, showing us there's the only way we can go. He's teaching us that there's a way made into the presence of God. Oh, salvation's of the Lord. But here's the thing about it. On our approaching God, the first thing we meet with is when we first walk in, is blood poured out. Blood poured out. He poured out his blood. You know, people present Christ, and there's no telling how bloody he was. I see people put up these crosses, and they put this scarlet thing around it. But oh my, when you think about Christ, pouring out his blood. His blood poured out of his body. I mean, it poured. I mean, it was all over the cross he was on. It was all over the ground. It was on his legs. It was on his stomach. It was on his face. It was on his ears. It was all over him. It was on his arms. Oh, my. And his blood was poured out. Poured out. And what a picture of him who poured out his soul unto death, his blood unto death on the cross for us. Now at the altar of sacrifice, where that blood was poured out, we have atonement. At the altar of incense, the blood put there tells us we have intercession through our Lord Jesus Christ. The blood before the veil speaks of our access into the presence of God. And that blood sprinkled 7 times before the Lord, shows us we have a perfect standing before God Almighty, and an absolute perfect standing. Paul said it like this in Hebrews, we go into the holiest of all by a new and living way, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my. And we have boldness, boldness. All right. Now, what happens when these things happen? God accepts, when he accepts the sin offering, you know what happens? Look down here in verse 26 of Leviticus 4. Look what happens in verse 26. And he shall burn all his fat as the fat of the sacrifice of peace offerings, and the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sin. And listen to this, it shall be forgiven him. Having forgiven you all trespasses. No wonder David said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Blessed is the man whose sins are covered, whose sins are forgiven. And oh, then they have the assurance of it be forgiven. Look what it said. It shall be. Not we hope it will. We'd like for it to be. We think it might be, but it says it's sure. It shall be forgiven him. It shall be. It shall be. Oh, this is the promise. This is the promise of him who cannot lie. The promise of God Almighty, who knows the full value, the worth, the preciousness, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, his beloved Son. How valuable was God Christ to his blessed Father? You know, God placed such value and such merit and such worth in his own Son that his Son's blood and death was able to save a multitude that no man could number. God said, it's so powerful, so precious, such value to it, that I think it's so valuable, so worth so much, that it's the most precious thing that I could give, that I'm going to cause his death, his blood, his sacrifice, his sin offering, to be the thing that will put away all their sins once and for all. Huh? Oh, my. And we're saved by this blood shedding. Look what it says here again. Let me show you two things and I'll close. And we're assured we're saved by his blood, but we have assurance by his word. In the blood shedding, the blood sprinkling of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's sent provision for sins of ignorance. Look what it says in verse 2. If a soul shall sin through ignorance against any other commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them, well, his blood takes care of our sins of ignorance. I wonder how many sins we commit that we don't have a clue we're doing it. But God took care of all them. Talking to a fellow one time, said, boy, don't be ugly. And he said, oh, I'm not ugly. I don't act ugly. Oh, my soul. Sins of ignorance. We'll open our mouth, and 9 times out of 10, something's coming out of there not worth listening to. You know it? Places we take our eyes and look, it's not worth looking on. Oh, Scott Richards said there's books that's not worthy to be read. Conversations not worthy to be talked about. Places not worthy of going to. And oh my, ain't you glad that God said if we commit sins of ignorance, the blood takes care of that. Look what else it says. And then sins that we know we commit. And verse 3. If the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people. Oh, he said, sins that we know we've done. Sins that we know we've done. Oh, my. You reckon we know anything about them? Sins that we know we do? Oh, look down in verse 28. Of his sin, which he had sinned, come to his knowledge. When you know you've sinned and it comes to your knowledge, it comes to your mind, bring your offering. Bring your offering for his sin, which he has sinned. Oh, my. Sins that we know we've done. Sins that we don't know we've done. Christ our Lord took care of all of them. I never will forget the first time, behold, no wonder we say, behold, the Lamb of God. I'll never forget the first time that I heard that Christ died for our sins, past, all of our sins. All of our sins present, and all of our sins future. All my sins were future when Christ died on the cross. And I've never done anything that God didn't see me do it before I did it. And he had took care of all my sins before I ever existed. And if he done that, you reckon he's not going to take care of the ones I did today or tomorrow? You know, the day that Christ comes and gets us and takes us out of this world, if we still have any mind at all when we get ready to leave this world, if we got any mind, every one of us will say, Lord, I thank you and I bless you that I can lay down here tonight and get ready to leave this world and I don't have to worry about my sin. Oh, I won't have to worry about it facing you because it's already took care of. It's done. Sprinkled seven times, we have a perfect standing right this moment before God Almighty. Oh, what a blessed hope. There's not a soul in this building right now, not a soul that's listening to me preach, that if Christ died for them, all their sins are gone. Sins that they didn't know anything about and the sins that they do. And as we're one or the other, we either we know we've done it or we're stupid and we don't know we've done it, but God took care of it all. That's why we say salvation to the Lord. How precious, how precious. Oh, our Father, our blessed, blessed God in heaven. Lord, I lift my soul up to you. I lift my soul up to you in praise and wonder. In astonishment, oh God, that you'd take sinners, oh, a sinner like me, such a wretched man, oh Lord, oh God, with so much sin, failing, shortcoming, so much unbelief. And oh Lord, I lift my soul up to you and praise you that you took care of all my sin once and for all. And Lord, I stand before you as all your people do, perfect, accepted in the beloved, without fault, without blemish, without fault. Oh God. Oh, no wonder you said it's an abundance of grace and it's a gift. Thank you for the abundance of grace and righteousness you gave us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, thank you, Lord. Blessed be your holy name. Praise be to your name. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. I see you Friday night. I believe Chris Cunningham and Billy R. Drop is going to preach. And see you Friday night. The Lord bless you and keep you.